أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Continuing with our look at Kaaba Corner.
Today we will look at Surah number 105, which is Surah Al-Fil. Now the focus of Surah Al-Fil is divine protection of the Kaaba. And we find in the personality of Abraha, for example, a portrait of one whose God is wealth and power. And so they do not see the sacredness of divine symbols, in this case, the Kaaba. Let's look at a little bit of background history about Mecca and Yemen. So first, let's look at Mecca. Now, for a long period of time, the rule of Sabah, which was Yemen with its ports, controlled the trade between the Arab world, that is, Sham, which is Syria, Iraq, and Al Jazeera. A flood destroyed everything in the year 450 CE. And this is mentioned in Surah Al-Sabah, this is Surah number 34. And the Yemenis migrated to different places. The tribes of Aus and Khazraj settled in Yathrib, which is known as Medina now. Other Yemeni tribes had settled in Mecca, where the Zamzam spring was. Now, Prophet Ismail grew up amongst these tribes. From his progeny, we have Qusi bin Kilab. He was born 400 CE. He is the Prophet's great-great-grandfather. And he was known as Mujammi, which means the gatherer. And he unified his family and he settled in Mecca. Amongst his children was Abdul Manaf. Abdul Manaf had four sons, Hashim, Muttalib, Abdul Shams, and Nawfal. Hashim was born in 464 CE. Now he saw the advantage of the vacuum that had occurred in Yemen after the flood. And with his brothers, he made a trade agreement with the surrounding nations of Sham, not necessarily the Syria of today, but a wider area, Habasha, and which is Ethiopia, Iraq, and Yemen. Now, Mecca, being central to these four nations, became this trading hub. And the brothers made an agreement known as Ilaf, and therefore they are called Ashabul Ilaf, the companions of the united agreement. Hashim had a son, Abdul Muttalib, whose original name was Shaybatul Hamd, which means the grey-haired praised one. He was born with a patch of grey hair. While returning home from his maternal relatives, the Banu Najjar, where he was born, Shaybatul Hamd rode behind his uncle Muttalib and they asked him, "Who is this boy?" And Muttalib said, "This is my slave." So he came to be known as Muttalib's slave, which is Abdul Muttalib. Now his son, Abdullah, was born in 545 CE, 25 years before the year of the elephant. And on a business trip at the age of 25, he dies without seeing his son, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now let's look at Yemen. 300 years after Prophet Isa, the Romans ruled Rome, Western Asia, Turkey, Egypt, Ethiopia, and a part of Yemen. The Christians of Yemen were oppressed, and we find this in Surah Al-Buruj, which we just did, Surah number 85, when it talks about Ashabul Ukhdud. And the Ethiopians, seeing that oppression of the Christians, invaded Yemen. There were internal disputes, and that led to a military coup. Abraha, who was a general in the army, takes over. And he promises his people that he will make Yemen powerful once again, just as they were before the great flood. He started off by building a large, opulent church in Sana'a, which is the capital of Yemen. And he called it Al-Qulais, hoping that it would compete with the Kaaba, which was the only unifying base for the region's Arabs. Realizing that it wasn't working, he wrote to the Ethiopians that the Arabs were still preferring the Kaaba to the church. In some narrations it is said that when the Arabs found out, they disrespected the building out of anger. Using that as an excuse, an angered Abraha decided to destroy the Kaaba, and with the help of the Ethiopians, an army of more than 12,000 soldiers and elephants went towards Mecca. The Arabs, whose armies mainly used camels and maybe a few horses, had never seen such animals before and didn't know how to stop them. When they reached the outskirts of Mecca in the month of Muharram, the whole city of Mecca was evacuated. The Prophet's grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, went with some of his friends and children to visit the invader to learn what he could do of the impending attack. Abraham had told him that his sole aim was to destroy the Kaaba and that he had no desire to fight them unless they attacked him, of course. Abraham did treat him with respect and asked if there was anything he could do. In response, Abdul Muttalib said, "Please return the camels and all the tribe's belongings that the soldiers had taken for themselves." Abraham was mystified and asked why Abdul Muttalib did not care about the Kaaba's fate. And the famous answer of Abdul Muttalib was, "I am the owner of the camels and not the Kaaba, as the latter has an owner who will protect it himself." He returned to Makkah and advised the residents to take refuge in the surrounding mountains. He then joined a few friends, prayed in front of the Kaaba, and placed his trust in God, knowing full well that they could not defeat this huge oncoming army. So with this in mind, let's look at the surah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. Have you not seen how your Lord dealt with the companions of the elephant? The ayah is asking figuratively about the amazing event. The event was so paranormal that the Arabs, who did not have a formal calendar, used it as the point where they would date events from. So they would say before Amul Fil or after Amul Fil. Amul Fil is the year of the elephant. Incidentally, the Prophet was born 50 days after this event. Now the word Rabbuka points to it addressing to the Prophet. And then the word Ashabul Fil. Whenever there is companionship between two people, it is said that the lesser one is the companion of the higher one. So for example, the Prophet is higher than the companions, and this is why they are called Sahaba, and the Prophet is not called their companion. So the title Ashabul Fil means that even the elephants are deemed higher than the army. And then ayah 2, Alam yaj'al kaydahum fi tadlil. Did he not cause their plans to end in confusion? Kayd is a secret plot where the intention is different and it plans to hurt someone secretly. Abraham was planning an economic war with the guise of a religious cause. Now let's look what happens. Allah says, وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ and sent down flocks of flying creatures onto them. Ababil means flocks. It does not necessarily refer only to birds, but also to large, overwhelming numbers. That's important to note that the Quran does not use tuyur, which is birds, which is a plural form of tayr. So we cannot assume that it was a swarm of birds that launched this deadly attack. He then says, Tarmihim bihijaratim min sijil. Whatever these creatures were, they pelted them with stones of baked clay. Sijil means stones like lumps of dried clay. We don't know what this phenomenon was, whether it was an actual storm that brought a swarm of tiny creatures, such as birds, which inflicted the large army with stones that penetrated their flesh, or whether a disease suddenly swept over them, perhaps brought about by birds or insects. And finally, فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَأَسْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. So he made them as eaten straw or consumed stubbles of grain. The result of the attack was that this enormous army became like the leftover stubble of grain or grass after having been mowed into the ground. In some of the narrations, it is said that after this destruction, the ground appeared as if a flat sheet made up of thousands of the enemy's army's men and their elephants had been laid upon it. The major lesson from the surah is Makaruhum wa makarullah wallahu khairul makirin. They make plans and Allah makes His plans, and His plans are the best of plans. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to be of those who recognize the sacredness of divine symbols. فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.